Okay, Rabosei, we're up to Kuf Chav Sif Gimel. Just a word from our sponsor. The shul, Baruch Hashem, has been running well for 15 years now and pretty much covers its expenses. However, this year, the shul has to replace the air conditioning units and put a new roof. And therefore, they are requesting with the greatest sense of urgency that more people be mishtatif. The shul's Malava Malkas next Moshe Shabbos, and whoever could, we're asking that you be mishtatif. Our gabbai for this is Rav David Shurin, and anybody who could respond to the appeal is very much appreciated. Okay, Malava Malkas next Moshe Shabbos after the Navi Shir. Okay. Just make out the check to Shurin Associates. Okay, we're up to Sif Gimel. Before that, we have here for the first time, in almost the first time, in Yeridei Chelek Beis, an opportunity to get a psak of a Mishnah Brura. In Sif Beis, we spoke about the difficult question of a chatzitza by tfilas kelim, where you have one keli on top of another, or you're holding it with your fingers. Well, basically, what we said last week is that if you hold it tightly, it's a problem. You would have to be magdamid in the water, like the Matthew Anderson says, put your hand in the water and put the keli in your hand. That's if you're holding it in a tight way. If you're holding it very loosely, then it's not a chatzitza at all. The water gets through. And if it's a, what the Taz calls a, what's this Lashon, Dibuk Beinoni, if you're holding it not so tight, not so, you know, like the three bears, you know, not so, not too hot, not too cold, so then you need to be magged in water, v'lav dafka water from the mikveh. The question is very hard for us. What's very tight? What's very loose? And more importantly, the issue comes up when you tovel a whole set of silverware, and you can take each one and have to dip it in the mikveh one at a time. It takes a lot of time. The question is whether you compile the silverware into a kli, into a basket, and be tovelim. So the Mishnah Berurah in Tufnun Beis Chav Beis says, without a comment, he just makes a statement that you're allowed to be tovel many kelim one on top of the other. It says Hagala not and Tfila yes. So that we have a psak in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, was the Mishnah Berurah talking about heavy kelim, light kelim? I don't know. But silverware is about as light as kelim gets. So in the case, at least, of silverware, we can feel comfortable. We have a psak in the Mishnah Berurah that allows us, I don't know if you're going to title 1,000 pieces of silverware, that will be heavy, but to take a set of 30, 40, 50 pieces, you certainly could be makel that that's considered to be a rough way, and therefore it's not so much you want to shake it, you can shake it. The Mishnah Berurah, okay, was saying that it's mudda. Now, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this in one other place, and that is to do with somebody who's wearing a ring and washes the tilas yadayim with the ring on the finger. Now, really, it's the same shaila. If the ring is dovuk tight, so then it's a chatzitza. If the ring is very loose, then it's not a chatzitza. If it's a dibuk beinoni, so that's where the issues come up. The Mishnah Berurah, interestingly, writes the following. Now, you have to apply this, so listen carefully. Is a ring a chatzitza at all? If a person wears his ring all the time and never takes it off, is it a chatzitza, even if it's tight? So Mishnah Berurah says the following. It says, Mishnah Berurah is in Siman Kuf Samach Aleph. I'm going to read two Mishnah Berurahs. First, I'm cutting you a test. The Mechaber here says that a ring is a chatzitza. Tzarech lahasira tabas me'al yaday b'shas netilas yadayim afilu hu rafui. Even if it's loose. We'll have to see what loose means in a minute. But first, Mishnah Berurah says, maskel achrenim dafka isha shedarka lahakbid lahasira tabas b'shas malacha dahinu b'shas lisha. That the only place a ring is a chatzitza is a woman who needs dough. And when you knead dough, you don't want to get the dough under the ring, so you remove the ring before you knead the dough. Aval ish she'ein darkai lahakbid lasira b'shas malacha ki ein darkai lalush. A man doesn't need dough with a K. Right? Doesn't need dough. Ain't sarach lahasir. I say tabas tila filayne rafui. He says that he doesn't have to take off the ring. Even if it's not loose, rakim yesh by even toif. You got ish darkei lahak de lahasir b'shas natilosh lo yislach lech me'amayim oz yesh lachush. He says if it's a plain ring that a man is wearing a band, so he says that you don't have to take it off b'shas natilosh yadayim, even if it's tight, because a man is never makpid to take it off. On the other hand, if it has a stone, a person doesn't want it to get wet. I'm not sure why a wet stone is different, but if he's makpid sometime, then it's different. Today, I don't think most women need a dough with their hands. My wife does. But I think many women have either just don't make anything to do with dough. They just buy challah. Someone's buying challah. The bakeries are making them. Or because they use a bread machine, they use machines that need the dough. In such a case where a woman is never makbid to remove the ring, certainly a man is never makbid. Whatever the mitzvah is, if they're never makbid to remove it, is not a chetitza. We once had somebody, was a guest in our home, and she told us she can't get the ring off. You know, she put on the ring when she got married, and she went through 3 or 4 pregnancies. Her finger is much thicker than it was as is the rest of her at this time, and the ring just doesn't come off. So I told her, don't worry about it. You know, it's not an issue of chetitza, because if you never take it off, then it's not a chatzitza. So that's one important yediyah. There's nothing to do with this. What? The mikvah would be the same thing. The mikvah would be the same halacha as for a mikvah. Something that a woman is never makbid, unless it's batal daite to a kol adam, unless there'll be a case where she says, I'm not makbid on something everyone's makbid on. But in the case of a ring, the chatchila, we make them take it off. But it's really not called miyuta she'ein chaitzitz. Miyuta she'ein makbid. We are l'chatchila. We try to take off every chatzitza. But for the eved, miyuta she'ein makpedes is not a chatzitza, and therefore that particular thing is muta. How is that negeh to tefilas kelim? It is. People ask about kelim that have stickers on it. I mean, a tevel kli, and it's got a sticker on it. Now loymi boy kelim that have stickers on it that are there for the show, that's certainly not a chatzitza. You want it to be there. Certain types of crystal have a label on it which shows the quality of the crystal kli, and people like to have it on. That's certainly not a chatzitza. Something which is on, which has, let's say, a price tag. So that depends. Now listen carefully. If a woman is not makpedes, except occasionally, in other words, she's not makpedes, has a sticker, doesn't. But if she make a sheva brachis, she wouldn't put it out with the sticker. So that's called makpedes. Just like by the ring, she's not makpedes any time, except when she needs dough. That's called makpedes. The same thing, if somebody has a sticker on a kli, and if they were making a fancy suda, they would be have kepeda on it, then that's a chatzitza. Now, obviously, if it's a plastic, if it's a cereal bowl, which they don't put out at a sheva brachis, that I'm not talking about that. It's not a way it's ever used. But otherwise, it's not. Very often, people show on the bottom of the kli, there's a sticker, a coffee mug, it's got a sticker on it or writing on it. And if a person would never be makbid, so then lechatchila we take off every chatzitza. But if somebody already titled it, or if it's hard to take it off, then that's not a chatzitza. We do say batla daita if it's considered abnormal to do what you're doing. If it's totally abnormal, let's say you have some guys in Adira and they don't care about any sticker, but normal people do, so we batla daita etzel kol adam. But if it's within the range of normal, then it depends on the individual.
Sometimes they want a fancy sticker.
Sometimes they want it.
It depends on what the price is.
Yeah, there is a tricky thing. If it's a sticker which people want, but it started to fray at the edges, and people are makbid because of that, that makes it not want it. And that's a problem. So that's Mishnah Berurah number one, the halacha of makpedes. Mishnah Berurah number two, it's actually the one before it, Sivkat and Yudches. There he says a psak about tight and loose. The Mechaber says, "Sarach lahasir atabas ma'yadiv shastiyasidayim afiluhu rafui." Even if it's loose, why? Even if it's loose, we just learn loose is okay. So Mishnah Berurah there says, "Avshamayim ba'al la'etzba." Even though water gets under the ring, onto the finger, "Mekamachim yesh lahasir mishum she'ein anu bekiim eze mikri rafui." We're not bekiim what's loose, what's not loose, as we just said. "Ubidiyaver also like tefila barafui." B'di'evet, if it appears to be loose, it's good enough. Hu she'shachav aleh revius b'basachas. For different reasons, he had to pour at least the revius, which is on derech anyway. But the Mishnah Berurah has upset. Al chatchila, we're not bekiyim in what's rafui. And therefore, it's very hard to be meikel and just say that it's loose. But if b'di'evet, then you could be meikel. Now, with putting a bunch of silverware, what? Sikon yudches. First time I read was yudches, second was yudches. Now, in the case of silverware, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say Eino Nu Bekiyim Eze Mikri Rafui. Apparently, he holds that that's sort of a... Now, it doesn't depend on estimating each time. You can see silverware could say a rule that it's not Rafui. But otherwise, when not Bekiyim, we try to remove it. I said, this is the Psak.
So, practical matter, how many pieces of silverware would you put in the basket?
A service for eight. Okay? No, roughly. Yeah. What's normal?
If
yeah.
You're titling your plastic silverware, you can put in more.
Okay. Sif Gimel. Yevarech al tfilas kli. You make a bracha when you table kelim. Vimhem shnayim ayoysim yevarech al tfilas kelim. The Mechaber says that if you're titling one kli, you say al tfilas kli. And if you kovel many kelim, you make a bracha al tfilas kelim. Now, this is a highly unusual circumstance where you have two different brachas, depending if you're title one or you're title two. When you may put up a mezuzah, the bracha is l'kvaya mezuzah. You don't say l'kvaya mezuzahis if you're putting on the more than one mezuzah, or you light Neres Chanukah. Make a bracha, so it's l'hadlik Ner Chanukah, or Shel Chanukah. But if you're lighting the second night, you don't say l'hadlik Neres Chanukah. You just make one. There's no chiv. Okay, Neres Chanukah could be different. It's only a hiddur. But people make a bracha lahafish chala mina isa. They don't say if they're tepering chala from two isas, they don't make lahafish chala mina isa is. So it's very strange that you make here a bracha different, a different nusach bracha for one kli and for many kelim. So I asked Rav Palm what the gather is. Why here? So Rav Palm told me the following. He said that something where you do each ma'isa, you're doing one. You're putting up a mezuzah. You put up one mezuzah, then you go put up another mezuzah. You put up another mezuzah. So you make a bracha on the first mezuzah, and the path is the other mezuzahs. And that's good. You're separating dough, you separate challah, you separate from one, then you go, you separate from the other, you separate from the other. A shechita. You're shechting one animal, then you go shech the other animal, so you make one bracha on shechita. It's a ma'isa that you do a numerous times, so one path is the other. A mitzvah that you could do two in one shot, you could tevel two kelim in one shot. You take two kelim in your hand and tevel them. So something that you do two in one shot, there you make a bracha. And he brought the following raya. It says in Hilchis Erevim, by making an Erev, it's in Mishnah Berurah Shin Samach Vav Sukkot Nayin Tes, that if somebody wants to use the same lechem or the same food, it doesn't have to be bread, for an Erev Tavshilin and an Erev Tchumin. He needs an Erev Tchumin, and it's also Yom Tov going to Shabbos, he wants an Erev Tavshilin. He's going to take the same food and double it up. Use it as an Erev Tavshilin and use it as an Erev Tchumin. So there also, we find the second place there, we normally make a bracha al mitzvahs Erev, which the Berurah says to make a bracha al mitzvahs Erevin. That this, you're using one thing for two mitzvahs. So Rav Palm said that when you use one thing for two mitzvahs, so then you make a Lashon Yachid, Lashon Rabbim distinction in the Nusach HaBracha. When you're doing a Maisa, that's one mitzvah, just you're doing one Maisa, another Maisa, another Maisa, so each Maisa is L'kvaya Mezuzah, and then you make the Nusach of L'kvaya Mezuzah. So that's a nice gather. Well, there this is a mitzvah shchita, so it really wouldn't be shayach. It's a bit example, right? A mitzvah shchita, you would make a mitzvah shchita.
You
Well, you mean we say tefillin? We say lohaniach tefillah? Is one a tefillah? Is one a tefillin? Yeah, it is a tefillah. So I don't know. I don't know. And in halacha it says clearly that if someone's only putting on a shalraish, it makes a bracha lohaniach tefillin. The Nusach bracha seems to stay the same. I'm not sure that one is called a tefillah. Tefillin, yeah.
You're putting one at the same time anyway.
So I don't know. By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the minig is always to say Tfilas Kalim, but the kids are in the Chach Masadim say like the Shulchan Aruch.
It's only one Chagat candle. You only have to put one mezuzah for your house, right?
No, you have to put up one mezuzah per door. He's not yet with one. People have this mistake. I've had this, especially with people who aren't so from. Say, well, one mezuzah for the front door. Why? If the bad shadim can't get in the front door, why do I need it in the bedroom? You know, they can't get in already, so it blocks them. But really, there's no difference the bedroom door and the front door. It's the same.
There's one for that.
No, each door is its own.
It's all separate mitzvah.
Yeah. What happens if somebody has a chatzitza on one hand? So he's only washing one hand. He says, on tilas yad? I don't know. On tilas yadayim. Huh? Takana was both. Okay. There's one takana for both.
That would be the answer.
All right, the next question. But you don't shech them in one shot. Shech them one and shech the other. You shech them separate. One ma'isa, that's where you make this distinction. That was a problem. One food for both Erev and Rat. You could. Since you could, that's why the nusach is that way. You don't have to. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, Kisui Hadam. Yeah, but there is no nusach of two because plural for dam. When you say Akisui Hadamim, Akisui Dam. There's always a lot of dam. That's the truth. There's always. Yeah, if it would be Akisui Dam Tarnagoil, then you would say Akisui Dam Tarnagoilim. Okay, the question is where to make the bracha. This is a serious issue for people who tovel in a merchitz, in a tefillah where people tovel. They're kelim mikvahs, there's no issue. The kelim mikvah you could tovel. So I'd like to learn a halacha with you that people are unaware of in general regarding saying divrei Torah or making brachas in a locker room. In a place where people are oined, it's called the Beis Hamtzoi, a place where some people are dressed, some people are not dressed. And speaking divrei Torah or making brachas. So in Shulchan Aruch, I'm reading to you now from Simen Pei Dalet. It says, Merchitz Yashan, new Merchitz that was never used, there's nothing. It says, Merchitz Yashan, the Beis Hachitzai, in Shekhaloindim Sham Levushim, a place where everyone's dressed, Pashit, it's Mutter and everything. Bem Tzai, Shekhsas Oindim Sham Levushim, Uktsas Arumim, Yesham Shila Shalom, Avalai Kriyesh Maat Filah. The Chumrah of not saying Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, that you could say. Avalai Kriyashma, Utfila, Vahu Adir, the Mishnah Berurah says, Kol Shah Barachah. Chen Kol Barachah is Divrei Torah. In the Beis Hamtzoi, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, where some people are sometimes dressed, sometimes not dressed, in that place, it's Osir to say Kriyashma and Divrei Torah, Umut Laharer Sham and Divrei Torah. So that's a locker room. Now, I have. Oh, I'll get to that in a second. That's a good point. First, I'll just read to you what it says. One second. One thing at a time. So the what it says here is in a place where people are sometimes dressed and sometimes not dressed. The it's also to say Divrei Torah and Kriya Shema. The Mishnah Berurah says on that. Mashmir Hataz, but the Evan and Beirasham ain't a chayzam of Arab, but the Evan is good. Then he says the Lanyan Beis Hatfila. He's talking about a woman who goes to the mikveh. So he says, Masik Hataz, the Chol Dinoi Kibesam Tsoy Shal Merchitz, Vein Lavara Sham Shum Bracha, Rak Birchas Hatfila Shi Hechreches, Kidi Evan Hichashuva. That Lagabe, a person himself, was titling. If somebody wants to take a drink of water, make shahakal, they should step out. But, Bishas Tvila, So they really should make brachas there, but the tefillah itself, which is a hechrich, k'di'evet hi cheshuva, v'chol zeh imam avarach einenu arim. That's if he's making the bracha when he's dressed and he's standing in that room. V'gam shlo yamei neged arumim, you know, facing other people who are undressed. V'odim b'chol zeh bi'isham avarachas b'veis ha'tefillah. So he's saying so far that she should tevil before she make the bracha, then get undressed, then be tevil. Prima gadim kasav de yaseh tev she tevarech b'mayim. That's the custom today. They make a bracha in the water. The water covers the makim erva. V'atam de shom makim hamayim yaseh mistaver de einay nechshik beis amtsay shal mechitz. U'pasha de gam sham tzricha beis habracha lahazeh panel v'gufa minosham harumais. Now I'll be facing any other person who's undressed. And he says that there you make the bracha. Now I want to explain just a side thing. The Beis Panimi, let's say Beis Amtsai, is a place where you don't make brachas. What's worse than a Beis Amtsai? That's called the Panimi, Shekulam Ayim Shamar Rumim. There, it's usually considered a Makam Zuama, a place where it's filthy, where it's not clean. And they're even here about the very Torah is awesome. Our showers and our bathtubs and our beis hatfila, we don't have the same zuama. The reason is simple. They used to heat up the bath using firewood. It created smoke and it created filth. And Memela, the makam hamerchitz was always not clean. Our merchitzais are clean. Nafkamina, somebody is taking a shower, you're allowed to think the very Torah. Here a divrei Torah we said is mutter in a beis amtsai. So unless it's also a bathroom, which is aser, but say somebody's in a shower room, or you have a shower and you have closed the doors or the curtain. So here a divrei Torah is mutter. It's a beis amtsai, and it's mutter. Our mikvahs are also a beis amtsai. They're clean, and therefore we have this halacha that it's only a b'di'evet to make a bracha there. But since for the nashim they want to make it close as they could to the tefillah. So therefore, the same thing with the ger, they make the bracha then b'shas ma'isa. Now there are two minhagim in Klal Yisrael, Yad Hayayim, as to how a woman stands when she makes the bracha. The minhag is, at least by Ashkenazim, is that they tevil, make a bracha, and tevil again. Some are tevil three times, for whatever reason. But how they stand, there are two minhagim. There are some who have a custom to put their arms here, that's a symbolic hefzik bein lev la'erva, between the Lev and the Erva, and there are some who have a minig to cover their eyes. Because you're not allowed to look at an Erva, so actually they're not mechuyif to Alpidin, they could just look straight ahead. But those are two minhagim, they have different Kala teachers that teach one or the other, either to make a hefsik ben Lev la'erva, or to cover the eyes. As far as I know, those are the two minhagim. To put the hands over the eyes, that's what they're taught, I don't know. But my point, yes? I'm telling you the two minhagim. I don't say I don't have a makar for it in halacha, but I'm sure they have a karis for it. But that's now for the bracha. The question is,
yeah.
The issue for us is what about the bracha on tefilas kelim? What about the bracha? So what comes out from what we said so far is that the bracha, and that's lemaisa really, it should be said outside of the mikvah room. In other words, you should go outside. I just tabled things on Hanukkah. So I went outside of the Mokum Tefillah. I'm talking about not by a Kela Mikvah, by a regular Mikvah. Okay. Made the bracha, and then I went in, and I was tabled the Kela without a hefzik.
Not where they get dressed.
Not where they get dressed. That's a base. I'm sorry. Let me finish one more Nakuda. Okay? It happens to me sometimes, and I go swimming, and in the locker room, so people come over to me and start telling me a varta in the parasha. They start telling me divrei Torah. So what do? It's a raya, you know. I can meet them in the street. They'll never tell me a divrei Torah. When the Yetzer Hara wants them to say a divrei Torah, you know, then they'll say a divrei Torah. So what do I do? So what I do is I listen, but I don't answer. Why? Because there's a machlekes tazimag and Avram pshat in Beis Amtsai. We're saying a Beis Amtsai makim shayinu sham miktsasam levushim miktsasam arumim. Does this mean at a time that it's mitzasam levushim, mitzasam arumim? At such a time, you have restrictions? Or, no, that room is a room which has such a din. So Mishnah Berurah brings a machlokes to Taz and the Magen Avraham, and without paskening, he doesn't say a psak, the Mishnah Berurah is in Sifkat and Dalet, and He says, "Lefi das hataz, afka she'ein sham adam arum, ein levar sham bracha." But that's a machmir based on tzai. Me'amagin Avram, like also, hey, mashal lo hakol b'zeh, ein bazuama. And if no one's undressed, what's the problem? It's a machlokes. So, I guess to listen and not say it, here is mutter. So I don't know if listening is the same as here or not. I'm not sure. So I listen. Sometimes I don't listen. Just pretend to listen. But as far as saying divrei Torah, it's a machlokes, and I guess a person should be machmir. I mean, you're going to say divrei Torah in a place where it's a machlokes.
I'm saying in the swim pool of the steam room where everybody has bathing suits, is there a problem?
Where everyone has bathing suits shouldn't be a problem. There's should not be a problem because there are no arumim there. Yeah.
So if people need a bathroom, not a
bathroom. Beis hachitzayin?
I'm sorry, a pnimi.
Beis hapnimi is the merchitz itself.
Okay, so you're saying a mikveh is the
our merchitz is a beis amtzai. A clean merchitz is a beis amtzai. The difference between beis amtzai and beis panimi is the zuama. Yeah, is the zuama. If there are people undressed, then it's the erva itself. Nachinami. But the beis hapnimi is also have to be here b'divrei Torah. Here b'divrei Torah is muta keneged erva. There's no issa here keneged erva. So even b'shas tashbish mamish here is muta. So here is muta. The issa here is has to do with zuama. Yeah. In the mikvah, when there are undressed people, there's no question you don't make a bracha. The mikvah, when there's nobody undressed, the mikvah is not worse than a beis amtzai. There's no zuama. No, on the pnimi, I don't think so. I think the pnimi, there will be no machlokes. The pnimi is only worse than the amtzai when there are either zuama or there are rumim there. If you have a room in the street, you're not allowed to.
There's sometimes
room.
A room.
Why is
that
different than the base of tzai? So it's not different than the base of tzai. It's like a base of tzai.
But the
no, if there's no zuama, it's not. It's the same as tzai. She has a real erva, so she covers the erva by going into the water. The pnimi is also like mitzasan arum and mitzasan levushim because it's mitzasan arum and mitzasan empty. It's the issue is the zuama or bepayel if there's an erva there. I think so. That's my understanding of it. Now, I'll tell you the truth. Years ago, they printed in the Amat Torah a piece from Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg wrote a piece to be mechayev b'nei Torah when they take showers to think in the Divrei Torah. That's a toss that the people are machmir not to think in the Divrei Torah. Because our showers are clean, and it was a very nice shtickle. And what? Look, it could be they didn't have a drain, and the water got dirty. You know, it could be everything. Could be. It could be it wasn't from the smoke, but I'm guessing it was from the smoke. Okay. So, bottom line, to make a bracha in the mikveh when no one is there, to make a bracha in the mikveh, I don't mean in the water, I mean in the room, that's a beis amtzai, lemaisa, according to the Taz, you're only allowed to make a bracha there b'di'evet. When the Rav says no one's there, you can make a bracha. Taz says it's only a di'evet. So therefore, you should better go outside and make the bracha, but wait till you're ready, unwrap the kli, get it ready to go, and then, then go. It goes quickly, yeah. It does
no,
go.
You should run.
And you should go quickly, yeah. They're not so big to go from the door. Okay, Sif Dalid. No. Interesting question. I think the pshat is that a bedroom is a place. Yeah, it's a place where 100 things are done. And one of them is that. Okay, Sif Dalid, Dalid Hay and Vav are the three Sifim which are issues that are least known in Tefilas Kelim. Most of the issues in Tefilas Kelim are pretty well known. Some are Machlaikis, some are not Machlaikis. Dalid Hay Vav are three rules for Kelim which need Tefilah that are not well known. At least Sif Dalid is very clear. And Nagei Lahalocha in many cases. Let's learn the Sif, try to know the aside, and apply it. Sif Dalet. Tripods. Shesaisim Aleim Kedera. A tripod is a place on which a pot is placed. You have a little fire on the floor, your campfire, you want to put a pot on top of the fire. You're not going to put it onto the fire. So what they did is they had a tripod with a round circular piece of metal on top, and you put your pot on top of it, and you're cooked. That tripod is the same what we call our grates on the stove, right? We don't want to put the pot on the fire, so we have these grates, most are black metal grates, and you place your food onto these grates. Do these grates, you put your pot onto the grates. Do these grates need tefillah? Tripod, sheshoifsim aleihem, kedera einam teunin tefillah. You don't have to tevel it. Aval, however, pedilish teunis tefillah. I guess that's sort of the barbecue grate, where you put the food directly. Teunis tefillah, mibneshin eisnam aleihem amaychal atzmai. They do need tefillah because the food is placed on it directly. Now, as you can see, there are no machlokes in here. This halacha psuka, there's really no shach and paz to speak of here. They just explain it. And then the tripod, the Taz sells us dry fus balash and Ashkenaz. And so it turns out something that you put the food directly on, that touches the food, needs tefillah. Something that does not touch the food, something where the food is placed in a container, is placed onto it, such as the grates on the stovetop or the racks in the oven. These things do not require tefillah because these are not things that touch the food itself. The Chasam Sofer in his Hagayos on Yeridaya gives a nice hesba for this. He says the parsha of tefilas kelim and the parsha of hagolas kelim is in the same pasuk in the Matis. And just like hagolah is something that gives a bliya, the food gets a bliya only from the kli it touches. Ain't bliya, it's a makli lakli. So too, the tefilas kelim is only a keli which touches the food and not a keli which does not touch the food.
So the sometimes to put the challah down on.
Oh, a second, I'll get to that. One second. So you have the disposable heter that we discussed, and that's a heter. If it's a disposable, then you have a heter.
If it's made as a disposable, okay. Not one that you're going to throw away.
Right. So. We're going to have the last sif and kufchaf that yakasher and tevling are separate mitzvahs. You have to do both. Yeah. Now, examples, yeah.
So, in the event that you don't totally your trivet, and your food falls on it.
It doesn't matter. Tefillah never asks food. Tefillas kelim never ever asks food. You go to someone's house and they cooked food for you in a untaveled kli. The kli, the food is mutter. Tefillas kelim does not. It's a mitzvah to tevel. It doesn't ask for the food. Now, some examples of this halacha lemaisa: a can opener does not need tefillah, even though it might incidentally touch the food, but it doesn't deliberately. You don't deliberately put it to touch the food, and therefore it doesn't need tefillah. The same thing, refrigerator racks don't need tefillah. I mentioned to you the other week that the fruit bin, which does touch the food directly, if it's a metal fruit bin, really should be tevel without it in the refrigerator. The refrigerator itself is not, again, it's not made to touch the kli, and therefore it doesn't need tefillah. A water urn does touch the food. The water is made to touch the food. The question is, what about something which occasionally is made to come into contact with food, but not on a regular basis, such as very often there are people who will put a potato to bake directly on the oven rack or a challah to crisp directly on an oven rack. So the Darkei Tshuva here on this sif writes that the Iker Tashmishai is Kaveya, and that's adequate. In next sif, we're going to talk about this in Pesachei Tshuva Vav, but in a different case. But here, the Darkei Tshuva says, Iker Tashmisha is Keveya. We find the Agolas Kelim a similar rule. And that's. If you're served food in a non-tivel Keli, Ramesh has a Tshuva. He says you should take the food, put it on the table, and eat it off the table.
Now
that's if it's like a kli metal or kli sukkis. He writes about soup. He says, the soup, I don't have an eitzah. But he says you shouldn't eat it from the kli. I would think, once it's in the kli, you're taking it out of the kli anyway. So what if I take one big piece out, or I take it, somebody serves me chicken nuggets in an untitled kli. So I'm going to take it out, just one at a time, you know, as I eat. I don't know, Ramesha has a true, was written Torah Vayirah, it's probably printed in the later Igros Ramesha, in which she, and it is printed in the Igros Ramesha subsequently, and he says, is it an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? By metal, by glass, it's always a D'Rabbanan. Is it an Issa D'Oraisa or Issa D'Rabbanan? It's interesting. Pashtos, it's an Issa D'Oraisa, it's a Mitzvah Natayr, it's a Tevel Kelim. The Mishnah Brura, in Hilchah Shabbos, where it talks about the Isra of Tevel and Kelim on Shabbos, in the Bir Alacha, he brings a Yeshua Siakov that says, the mitzvah to toivel the kli is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Using an untoivel kli is an issa d'rabbanan. Because you're not doing the mitzvah whether you eat from it or you don't eat from it. So he says that it's a d'rabbanan. Probably the makar is a Mordechai. It's a Mordechai that the Ramah brings, I think, in Simon Yud Gimel. He says about tzitzis. We all know wearing arba kamfis without tzitzis, isn't it d'oraisa? The halavei da'al kamfis without tzitzis. The Mordechai says that on Shabbos, if somebody has a four-cornered baguette and the tzitzis rip off, he doesn't have tzitzis. That is not an, it's not really, it's not an issur d'oraisa. Why? Because there's no issur. Doesn't the Torah don't wear arba kamfis without tzitzis? It says when you have arba kamfis, put on tzitzis. Put tzitzis on it. Now on Shabbos, it's impossible to put it on. So he says on Shabbos, wearing arba kamfis without tzitzis is issur d'rabbanan, nafkamina for kavod abrius. If you're in public and it rips and you're ashamed to take it off. So he says, it's only a siddur rabbanan, you can, God will cover abriyas. You can go into another room to take it off. So, presumably, that's what this psak of the Yeshua Siakiv is based on. So he says, using it is an iser d'rabbanan. I don't know much of a nafkamina if it's d'ra iser d'rabbanan, because halacha l'maisa, what? In a keli? Yeah, but it's a nafkamina, it's a d'ra iser d'rabbanan. Last I checked, you'd not be over the Rabbanans either. No, Ramesha writes, prefers that. So that you, Ramesha writes, I don't have an eitzah for the soup. You shouldn't eat the soup. And what? Shvus to shvus? What's the heter shvus to shvus? On Shabbos, there's a heter. It's not called Tarech Kula. Kavod Abrius, yes. If it's Ishu, Kavod Abrius. If they give me broccoli soup, I wouldn't eat it. So you shouldn't be ashamed. So they give me soup in a bowl, I'm going to eat it. What? So it's a problem. That's not Kavod Abrius. Why are you mevashim? You're not drinking, you're mevashim.
If you eat there a lot, the table itself has to be tovel.
Tabling a table would be the same, really, the same issue. We don't table kale for the same reason. It's a middle. It's interesting. The chiyuv to tovel can only be on the owner. And yet,
if I eat it from somebody else, what is from my
children?
I don't have a
chiyuv. That might be another reason. There might be a drabana, but I don't know. But
I don't have any chiyuv to be
tovel. Right. You only have an isser on using it, which we have to know what that together of that isser is.
But why should I even have an isser?
So I'm not sure why. It says Beferish, there's an isser. The question is why. I would guess that it's a siddur rabbanan there. I don't know. A nutcracker, it's interesting. There's a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman about a nutcracker. And he says the following. He says it depends. What's a shaila? The nutcracker is made to touch the food, but the peel. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, if it's the derech to bring the nuts to the table in the peel, then the peel is part of the food, and the nutcracker is considered to be touching the food. If it's not the derech to bring nuts with the shell to the table, only to bring shell nuts, then the shell is not considered a food, and then it doesn't have to be titled. So it's silas. The question is, do you look at it as one? Nobody eats it. Nobody eats it, but okay. That's his children.
So,
okay. Yeah, cork, that's right. A corkscrew doesn't eat tefillah. It's not made for kosher food. No, can't open it up. Here it's one thing with the. No, that's why it's a shame. All right, so we learn one yesod, and Baruch Hashem, no machlokesim, no nothing. If it touches the food, it needs tefillas kelim. If it does touch the food, it's okay.
What about the toaster?
Toast has to do with next sif. Let's get to the next sif. Okay. Next sif. We're looking for another guideline in tefillah. Now here we have two shitas, mechaber amah. So let's see. Sakin shel shchita, a shchita knife. Oy, sakin shemaf shitin bay. Or the knife with which they skin the animal. Yesh misha oimer she'inai tzarach tefillah. The mechaber is obviously passing it this way, but he's masking that it's talking to machlaik. Yesh misha oimer she'inai tzarach tefillah. Why not? So here, the Shach Yud writes, Hatam of Ursham, the Lav Klisudahain, the Hoda Behema, Chazia Lachila, Mishum Hachila, Chosha Klisuda, that I Tzrich Bishul Oitzliya. The Sheet of the Machaber is that if it touches food at a time that the food is not edible, that is another Ptor in Tfilas Kalim. If it touches the food when the food is not edible, like a second shel shchita, it's potter. We'll get to all the examples. Let's finish. The yesh chalkin the table tovloi b'loi bracha. The Rama again says that since it's a machlokes, therefore table tovloi b'loi bracha. However, what's pshat in the yesh chalkin? So the Shach has a chiddush. The Shach is actually in Sifkat Yud Aleph. Let me tell you what he says. He says that the etzem din, that something that's used for food that's not edible is muskim lakol. If you have something which is used for a food when it's not edible, it doesn't need tefillah. Why is a sakin shel shchita different? The Shach says because it's a knife. It could be used to cut other things that are edible. It could be used to cut an apple in half or to cut a slice of bread. So since a sakin shel shchita is it's a food utensil. Plus, it could be used for other things. Therefore, the Shach says that's pshat in the yesh chalkin. In the Shach itself, it's unclear if his kavana is that it's shayach to use it for other foods, which is his lashon, or that a person actually sometimes uses it for other foods. It's unclear. The lashon is that it's shayach to use for other foods. But in Svara, it shouldn't matter if it's shayach. It should matter if bepoil a person sometimes loses it. Oh, so we're going to get to. I said we'll get to that. You're right. One second. So we have here a kula of the Shach. The Shach is saying this chumra is only in a kli that could be used the other way. My nafkamina. Let's say somebody has a dough, a trowel that he uses to knead dough. And that's all he uses it for. It's not really shayach. If it's a bowl, it can be used for other things. Let's say it's part of a machine. So that's not used for other things. It's not edible at the time. According to the Shach, l'kuli alma, it doesn't need tefillah. Because the Shach says only if it's shayach to use it for other things, it needs. Just give me one more minute. And he says the next example, habarzolim shemesakna ben amatzais enam tzrichin tefillah. The metals with which they fix the matzah, it's not clear if this means the thing they make holes, with which they make the holes in the matzahs, some keli such as that. So there, also the dough is not edible. And since the dough is not edible, so the Shach says, HaBarzolim greet fei, she'ef shel l'sham shel l'maychal acher. And therefore, it doesn't need tefillah at all. So it comes out the following. The mechabeshita is a blanket heter. If it touches food that's not edible, it's not mechayev in tefillah. The Rama says l'tayvloi b'lay bracha, but according to the Shach, that is only in a case where it's possible to use it she'ef shel l'sham shel l'maychal acher. It's a knife. You could use it for other things. So then it is chayev in tefillah. But some that's e'ef shel to use for other things, like the things that you make holes with in the matzah. So he gives an example, needles with which they stitch the stuffed chicken before they cook it. So nobody's going to use a needle for It's before sushi. No one's going to use a needle for other foods, and therefore, it doesn't need tefillah.
That's the Ramah.
Okay, that's the Shach's pshat in the Chumrah of the Ramah. It's funny because we say it's a Musar Asar Kiss. He doesn't use it for other things. So I told you that I'm not sure to teach the Shach if it's Efshal Lashamsha, even though he never uses it, which is his Lashon, or it means he does occasionally use it. Well, then you're making it worse because Lamaisa the Shach is talking about a Sakash Shachrita. So, okay, I don't know. An old one, that's not Sakash Shachrita anymore.
It's edible,
you just have to open it up.
Yeah, when you open it up, so then after you use the finish using the nut cracker, then it's edible. It's not worse than the sacrificial.
If someone were to bring a whole big turkey to the table without cutting off a piece, no one can't bite into the turkey. You could. But you're going to call that not a sacrificial. What? I don't agree in the case of the nut. What?
But not in the shell, not Roy Lachila.
Why is it Roy Lachila? While it's in the shell, so you have to get to it. So a pickle that's in a narrow pickle jar and I can't get my hands in, you'll say the same thing. It's not really like it. Wasn't it even the glass of a pickle jar and the shell of a nut? What's the difference? One is edible and one's not. The thing itself is not edible. It's not a kli meichel. Yeah, not mechay. You mean the shell itself is a part of it that's not edible? The nut is edible. The shell is not edible. Okay, whatever you'll say about a nutcracker, my main point is not the case of the nutcracker, but this particular case. Now, this comes up very often. All right, we talk about a bakery. In a bakery, all the kalim except the pans that go into the oven have this pitur. That is, all the machinery is made to use food that's not edible. A raw dough is considered halachically not edible. You won't get sick from eating it, but it's not something that's normally eaten. With the except of mixers they use for jellies or jams, which are edible, but most of the kalim touch it when it's not edible. Now, even though there's a yesh chayokin, we're going to learn later there's a shita that klei schayra don't need tefillah. So the Kli Schayra don't need tefillah, and Keli Yishein Arayla Achila doesn't need, it's a heter. The Shaila is an interesting Shaila regarding the pans. No baked goods are put directly into a pan, unless it's an aluminum pan, which doesn't need tefillah anyway, disposable, but it's not put into the pan. They put parchment paper in between. So here's the Shaila. Do we have a Siv Dalit heter, not to tevil pans, if every time you bake a cake, or a cookie, you don't put it on the pan, you put it on the parchment paper. Is the parchment paper enough that we should say it's like an oven grate? An oven grate doesn't touch the food. So here, the pan also doesn't touch the food. You have this paper in between, and therefore it should have the patur of Siv Dalet. So what do you say?
Even without the paper,
no, that's raw, though.
No, but it comes out cooked, right. It comes out baked. So at the end, it's baked, it's right.
That should be like the Sakhi Shashkita. You could use it otherwise. But in the start of the shop, do you or can you? I could use it without the parchment paper. I could put stuff directly on it. I don't, but have to use that.
Okay, I mean like the Mechaber, you're right. Like the Mechaber. Yes. He's saying that according to the Shach, it's a Sakhid Shoshchita, Shmichai. You could use a tray, even though it's never used. It could be used for edible food. I don't know why anybody would do it. I guess sometimes you take a tray to serve, you pile in, but you also put it with a kli. You don't put it directly, you don't put food directly on it. But it's enough for me that Mechab is cool. Looks, I have a tzirif of the fact that Klei Sveira. So this should depend on some cipher I mentioned earlier. Some cipher's Hezber is that things that Tfilas Kalim has the Ptur, because it's in the parish of Agolas Kalim, L'chayra, we have to be done, and I don't know the Psak. What happens if somebody will put a tray for cookie on a piece of parchment paper on a tray and bake it? Would the Bliya go through the parchment paper into the pan. Now, if he was using a piece of aluminum foil, I wouldn't have a question. Aluminum foil is not porous. And namely, it's a mekliel kli b'lei raitiv. So therefore, I would say that if you have a piece of aluminum foil and you have something treif on it, and the aluminum foil is on a pan, the pan doesn't become treif. What about the parchment paper? The fact is, when you pick up the parchment paper with the cookies, if you look at the pan, you see little oily circles where each cookie was. It appears that it's porous enough for blias to go through. And then, if we go to some Sefer's rule, that tfilas kelim and hagolas kelim atoli zebizeh, wherever the blia would go through, yechayiv and tfilah, if it would need hagolah from treif, then it needs tfilah from owned by a guy. It would appear that these pans need tefillah. So I want to be clear. We're talking about two different heterim. Sif dalid is if it's not touching the food. That's what I'm talking about now. Sif hay is if the food is not edible, which is the machlekes, the mechaber ramah. So not edible is a heter for other kelim. For the pan, it'll be totally in what I just said, the heter of it not touching edible, touching the food at all. Yeah, you do find it. There's a klal that when it has one makar, it doesn't have a gemara or a standard rishon, the mechaber calls it yesh mishaymer, and you do find it.
Does it matter that the parchment paper freestanding up by itself?
That by itself, if it was aluminum foil, I wouldn't be concerned. But for parchment paper, which is porous, I think it is.
But if you put the parchment paper directly in an oven, long before it baked, that parchment paper is going to.
Yeah, I said that's not. So you're doing it to protect the paper rather.
No, you're doing it to protect the pan so you don't have to wash the pan in between.
You see, what you're saying is a difference, but I don't think it makes a difference. In other words, you're right. What you're saying is true, but I don't think it matters. If it's a separation, then it's a separation. If it would be a separation.
I'm trying to name on it. Is it a hatchet cleave for the aluminum pan?
Doesn't matter. It still would have the head, in essence.
You don't say it's possible to the cleave?
What?
You don't say it's possible.
If it were aluminum foil, I wouldn't have a question. You have this heter. It's not touching the food. If you line a keli with something, well, we're going to talk about maimid. We're talking next week about a maimid, which could be mechayev tefillah. But if you line it with a separate thing, we'll have to see. We'll see if it's involved the din of a maimid. You're right. There may be.
You always do that. If you want to get away from.
We'll see in the Sif Vav. I want to finish this one more line in Sif Hei. Avol kisui kedeira tzarech tefila. A cover of a pot needs tefila. Now, this is a very tricky halacha l'maisa shayla. Why? No big deal. You cover your table, the cover of your pot. The shayla is why? The cover doesn't touch the food. So Gra Tezvav says the following words. Gra Tezvav, the hamarak vazeya oilo lekisui. Because the steam goes up and touches the pot. Now, we had the following argument. Listen carefully. We, Mechabrus and I, when we learned this, had the following argument. A toaster oven, in which you always use a pan. You never put food directly on the toaster oven. You have a pan that you stick in, or a shelf. And do you have to tovel only the shelf? Or the entire toast oven, what's a shayla? Pashit, only what touches the food. The shelf touches the food. On the other hand, he was arguing that the rest of the toaster oven is a kisei kedeira, and a kisei kedeira should need tvila. Now, I disagreed with him based on the following logic. Why is a kisei kedeira chayiv? So what if the zeya touches it? What I was saying was that just the fact that Zeya touches it is not a machayev. It has to be that it's made to help the cooking by holding in the Zeya. Look at the Gra again. The Gra, I only read the beginning. Gra tells up, Hamarak vazeya oilo lekisoy, vavalei kekedeira, kamosha omru, beperakal abasar, b'shanir v'kisa. What is that? B'shanir v'kisa. There it's talking about a case where a drop of milk fell into a pot full of meat, or a top of tray fell into a pot full of food. Veneer v'kisa, and you either stirred it or covered it. The covering causes all the contents of the pot to blend. It causes them to cook and to the taste mixes one with the other. Why does the grub bringing this? The way I understand, The fact that the Zeya is touching it, that's not enough of a Mechayev. The Zeya happens to touch it, it's not a Mechayev. If it's a Kli Suda because of that it's made to help the cooking, then it's a Mechayev. If it's just made Lishmar Chaimai, just to keep the heat inside, like in an oven, so that should not be a Mechayev. This is, we had this argument. The Rav Palm said like hims, almost. In other words, he said like him that he thinks you should tevel the whole toaster oven. I asked him, so then every oven, you should tevel every oven. He said, no, if it's a big space above it, not. If it's close, like a cover, then it's different. However, I did find there's a Sefer Tefilas Kelim. Mm-hmm. In my printing day, it's gone through the numerous editions. In my edition, which I think we have upstairs, in the back, you could see a couple of tshuvas were added. Everything is very mesudar. Then in the back, he has a few psukim from Shlomo Zalman, the last pieces in the Sefer. Either last or next to the last, he has this shaila about a toaster oven. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman says you only have to tevel a tray, not the whole toaster oven. I'm assuming that he, maybe I'm wrong, that the logic is this logic, that it's not meant to help along with the cooking. It's meant just lishmar chaimai, just to keep the heat. So this is the case of the toaster oven. A regular toaster, a bread toaster, Rav Moshe has a chiddush pella, and there's a little bit of Torah Shabbat Peh that goes with it. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. In the tshuva he says that a toaster that's only made to toast bread, the pop-down, pop-up ones, which were out of style and for some insane reason came back into style. Lately they started selling them again. For years it was out of style. We were little, they had it. Now they have it again. I don't know why. The Ramesha writes, listen to this. He says it does not require tefillah because it's not a Kli Meichel. It doesn't do anything. It just dries bread. Big deal. Drying bread, that's a Tikkun Meichel. So he says that's not a Tikkun Meichel and it doesn't need. That's what they say. Well, that's what's printed. But Pia Shmua, it is said, I don't know if it's Emes, but it's sort of a color de liposik, this time you heard it also. The Ramesha held as a tziruf that Kalim that are mechubel lekarka don't need tefillah. We had the shaila about the big vats. Kalim mechubel lekarka, the shulchan pasna doesn't need tefillah. And anything that can only be used, plugged in, plugging it in itself makes it mechubel lekarka. It can only be used mechubel lekarka. And therefore, now to be Samech on that alone, Vice Dice or Moshe wasn't Samech. But as a Tziruf, he was Samech in the case of the toaster. So, yeah, the Urim Moshe is Mechayev Tevila. He has a tshuva about the Urim. So Vice Dice, he only uses as a Tziruf. I don't know, this is the P.S. Shmua, what people say. You heard this, B'Shem Moshe? It's heard, I think, that Ritzina Rav has a tshuva that Shemati B'Shem Godel Echad. It's called Mechubel Lekarka, and you know he goes to town on it that it's not Mechubel Lekarka. A gas line for an oven. I don't know, maybe I don't know. I'm not saying this lemaisa. I'm saying that this is what they say. Yeah. You quite to this in urn also not. Ask Reb David if Reb Moshe ever said it. I don't know. It's hard to know. But anyway, this, yes. No, the Zeya, the fact is that if you take a pot and you put something in the pot that doesn't have any Zeya at all, you're putting in a, what? A lechem, you're putting it in. The covering it, it's the only thing it covers it to do is make it less crispy, because it keeps the Zeya in. But no, the cover of a pot is, you take a potato kugel, it's some people like crispy potato kugel, some people like oily potato kugel. If you cover it, you'll get an oily potato kugel. If you uncover it, you'll get a crispy potato kugel. That has to do with the Zeya, not with the heat. It has nothing to do with the heat, it has to do with the Zeya. If the Zeya stays, if you want to put a kugel into an oven from beginning of Shabbos, you want to have it for the Shabbos day Suda. So you can do it. If you cover it, if you don't cover it, it'll end up crisp. It'll end up the crisp through and through. If you cover it well, it'll end up delicious. It'll be a moist kugel. That's how they do it for the kiddushin. That's why a Shabbos day kiddush, you don't have crispy kugel. It's always a soggy kugel, because you can't. You have to cover it well, or else you don't have it. What? That part of cooking, that's the zeya. That's lishmaras hazeya. It's not the chaim. Turn up the heat. It won't. It's not going to help you. Okay, Sif Vav next week in Yitzhak.